The Lord is in his holy temple. Say the Lord. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Say the Lord. He observes everyone on earth, and his eyes examine them. I want to remind you today that whether your last name is Dame and your first name is Joy or Jeremy, or whether it's your name, our God is present. He's not unaware of what's going on in your life. He knows your every need, and he wants to meet you at this place. So today, again and again, we're just going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to speak his name over you, over the things in your life, over what the Dame family is dealing with. And we're going to do that for the glory of his name. So would you stand together with me? I'm so glad you're here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. Oh God, we declare you are in your temple. You are in this place. You are with us, and you're worthy of worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that here at the beginning of yet another day of week of our lives, that you have breathed breath into our lungs. You've caused our hearts to beat, and we're able to gather with others who profess your name and worship you. So we praise you, Lord. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare that you are the God who can heal. You can change lives. We ask for that healing for Joy right now, as we will throughout this service. But Lord, we declare, yes, you can do it, because there's power in the name of Jesus. But Lord, we also ask that you would work in such a tangible, in a mighty way, that every person gathered here, every person that's joining us online, will know that they were in the presence of the Lord. So Jesus, we're excited about saying your name. We're excited about singing your name. We're excited about speaking the name of Jesus over everything in our lives. We worship you, Lord, even now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship him together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Oh yeah. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by the grace.
Come on, church.
I speak Jesus. Oh yes. Your name is power. Your name is stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
So I want to make sure that you understand, we've gathered in the name of one who is unlike any other name under heaven given by men. It is the name that changes life. It's the name Jesus. Would you say his name with me? Would you say the name of Jesus? I've noticed something earlier this week, church. I gathered with the saints at one of my favorite places. It was the Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. I gathered with some of the poorest people in that city. About 3,000 folks gathered on Tuesday night to worship. And you know what I noticed they didn't do? They didn't come there going, Jesus. They didn't just move their lips. They sang. In fact, I looked around and I thought, man, these people are singing. You could hear their voices. They believed what they sang. They needed Jesus over their families. They needed Jesus to break the chains of addiction. They needed Jesus to restore relationships. They needed Jesus to alleviate depression in their lives. I don't know about you, but I've come today and I need Jesus. So when I sing about there being power in the name of Jesus and healing in the name of Jesus and hope in the name of Jesus, I'm just telling you, I mean it. So I want to encourage you, we're going to stretch you a little bit today. Sing it like you mean it. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Sing this out together, church.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety to every soul. To every soul held captive by depression.
Oh, I speak Jesus.
Oh, the name.
Come on, church.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Oh, yeah.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Oh, your name.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Oh, it's so sweet.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Hey, let's declare it, church. Come on, shout it out.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
oh, the sweet and precious name. Shout it out.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Over every enemy is Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Shadows burn like a fire.
Oh, your name is strong.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Thank you, Lord.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like.
Sing it out.
Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
We're going to sing that bridge again, but the name of Jesus, there is no other name given among men by which we can be saved. No other name that brings salvation and freedom and forgiveness and healing and hope and restoration.
the name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Come on.
Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness.
Over every enemy.
give him praise. I think you're getting the hang of this, but I want to keep you standing and I want to continue to stretch you, all right? This is going to stretch you a little bit, but y'all going to be all right, all right? So I want to remind you that God speaks to us through his word. If you want to hear from God, just get into the book. Just talk to him. So I did that this morning. I said, God, I need you to show us where to go. I need you to tell us how to pray. Because we don't want to just seek your hand. We want to seek your face. And so in Psalms, again, I ended up in Psalm 13. It says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. Some of you need light in your life today. The darkness is overcoming you. Give light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. Would you give him praise if he's been good to you today? Now, you've just told me, but I want you to tell him. So this is the part that's going to stretch a few of you. I want you to praise him out loud, but I'm going to even show you how to do it. We're doing it straight from Scripture because this is Spirit-led, but it's Scripture-fed. I trust in your unfailing love. So maybe when you begin to praise him out loud, you're going to say, Lord, I trust in your goodness. I trust in your sovereignty. I trust in your power. I trust in your mercy. I trust in your grace. I trust in the fact that you know everything. Do you get the picture? If you do, say, got it. Okay, the second thing you could do is you could pray this next line. My heart rejoices in your salvation. You could say, God, my heart rejoices in who you are. My heart rejoices in what you've done for me. My heart rejoices that you've been there for me. My heart rejoices that you are strong and that you are a mighty tower that I can run to. Do you get it? You got it? If you get it, say, got it. All right. Or you could just pray this phrase. For you have been good to me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut my mic because I don't want to overpower you. But I want you to praise the Lord out loud. We're not getting crazy. We're just getting biblical. And we're just going to praise the Lord out loud together because the Bible says that our praise is like a heavenly aroma. It's like an incense that's going up to the Lord. And I want to give him an offering right now. How about you? So I'm going to start praying. Would you pray with me? Just pray out loud right now. Say, Lord, I trust you, or Lord, I rejoice in you.
Father, how can we approach such a holy God? Father, you deserve all the glory and all the honor, Father, because you're not just the God, but you are the only God. There are no other gods, Father, that can even compare to you, because you are the only true God. And to you, Father, we give all our praise, all our grace, all our worship you, Father. Because, Father, even if I worship you every day of my life, that will not be enough, Father. My life will not be enough to worship you the way that you deserve to be worshiped, Father. So, Father, we ask you that you accept our worship, that you will raise up to your throne as an incense. Father, there will be a good flavor, a good sense, a good smell to you, that you, Father, will be happy with our worship, Father. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, Father. There is no king. You are the king above all kings. You are the creator. You are our savior. You are our sustainer. Father, you, Father, just you. You, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you, Father, for the nails that brought Jesus' body and the cross. But thank you, Father, for the empty grave that gave us life and victory over death. Father, I declare that death has no grip over our lives. Death has no grip over the life of our sister Joy. She belongs to you. She lives through you. And as we live through you, we give you all the grace. Father, I can barely worship you in English, Father. I can worship you in my mother language. Yes. So, Senhor, eu te louvo, eu te agradeço, eu te exalto, porque o Senhor é Deus, e there is no, não existe Deus como o Senhor. Em Spanish, Senhor, eu posso dizer que o Senhor é magnífico. O Senhor merece toda a nossa alabança. O Senhor merece toda a nossa oração. But, Senhor, there will be one day, Father, that all tribes, all nations, all people will come together and will bow before you, all throne, and will worship you in all languages and all nations, because you deserve all the glory, because you are worthy, Father. You are worthy. You are worthy. You deserve all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Say, you are worthy. Say, you are worthy, Lord. He's worthy of it all. Let's worship him together. You are worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory.
Sing that again. You are worthy.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Oh, yes.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory.
Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, may our praise be a sweet-smelling savor to you, Lord. Let this incense arise in such a way that exalts your name, that pleases to you.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Sing it again, day and night.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day.
Your name. The highest praise is yours.
we sing it, would you just ask God, help me to focus on you, Lord. Help me to put my eyes on you. Take away the things of this world that are distracting me in this moment, and let me see what I need to see to know I have encountered the living God. Some of you have come in here desperate today just to know that God is real, just to know that He cares about you, that He's aware of the situation in your life. But you've got to turn your eyes to Him. You've got to focus on Him. So let's sing that chorus together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth.
I want you to know today that God loves you. I may say this again in a moment, but there's nothing in your life that can make Him love you any less or love you any more than He does right now. But there's a reality for you and me. The sin in our life keeps us from experiencing the power that God envisions that we encounter through prayer. The psalmist said specifically this: when you regard iniquity or sin in your life, it hampers your prayer. So maybe that's a new theological truth for you today, but I want you to understand that. I'm about to walk through some of these, so I'm not picking on any of us because I'm in the category. But if you're a gossip, or if you're constantly drinking or doing drugs, putting into the temple, if you're running your mouth in ways that are not honoring to the Lord, if you're involved in an adulterous relationship, if you lie, if you're not obedient to the things God told you to be obedient to, like spending time in His Word or seeking His face in prayer, all of these things the Bible describes as sin. And sin always separates us from God. Even as a child of God, sin needs to be confessed and forgiven. Now we've got good news. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Husbands, make no mistake, there's a stricter challenge for us. For husbands, the Bible says in 1 Peter, I think chapter 3, if you don't treat your wife the way God has commanded you to treat your wife, it hinders your prayers. So I'm just telling you, I'm trying in my life to take serious the importance of confession. I led the last service, but I just knelt in the midst of our worship and again said, God, I want to be right with you. I don't want anything to separate me from all of you. So I want to lead you in a time of confession. Like other things in our service, this may be a little different to you because I'm going to walk you through some of the specific things you may need to confess. I don't know, but guess what? He does. And so as we pray, I'm going to invite you to just say, like the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked or unrighteous way in me. I need to pray that every day. So if you're physically able and feel led to, I invite you maybe to turn around at your chair and just kneel. I'm going to kneel. Now, why do we do that? Well, we're doing that because we're acknowledging there's a king in the room. And we're not the king. There's one who is worthy of our submission and our focus and our obedience. So I'm going to talk you through this, but you just begin praying these prayers of confession right now. God, I want to confess. I want to agree with you about these things that are not right in my life. Start at the head, in the mind. The Bible says, take every thought captive. Are there ungodly thoughts? What does that mean? Well, it may be something obviously like lust, but it may be thoughts of bitterness or envy or jealousy. Maybe thoughts that are all about you when he says it's all about him. We want our prayers to be powerful, so we're confessing sin. God, I take every thought captive in this moment. Keep going through the head. We have eyes in our head. We have ears in our head. We have a mouth in our head. Are there sins of the eyes? If you're able to see, have you looked at things that are not pleasing to the Lord? Certainly, pornography is one of these things, but there are many ways we can look upon things and it not be pleasing to the Lord. Are you listening to things that you should not be listening to? That may be music you shouldn't be listening to, or it may be just gossip you should not be listening to. Saying things with your lips that you need to confess before the Lord. And one of the most consistent things in Scripture is how much it talks about the danger and the power in the tongue. Are you saying hurtful things? Are you saying ungodly names, things? Are you taking the Lord's name in vain? Is your mouth full of curse words? Are you a gossip? You speak harshly to others. Is your tone respectful? Are you using your lips to praise the Lord? I praise God for what we've experienced already today, but are you using your lips to praise the Lord on a regular basis? And then we think about our body. The Bible calls it the temple of God. So you putting anything in the temple that shouldn't be in the temple? And of course, that could be things like alcohol or drugs. Or we know the harm that even smoking does. But it may just be overeating or indulging too much in things that are not bad but are not, should not be indulged in. We're not being healthy. Confess that to the Lord. Maybe you're being sinful in other ways with your body. You're in the midst of an unholy sexual relationship, whether that's adultery or fornication. Some other sexual sin in your life. Confess that to the Lord. Let's go to the heart. The Bible actually says that all of these things that we deal with in life are flowing out of the heart. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So is your heart divided? Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus truly, once and for all? Holding unforgiveness in your heart towards someone in the family of God? Do you look at people differently because of the color of their skin or their economic status or their background? About all these things, confessing them to the Lord. Now ask him. Say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Oh God, you are holy, 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 holy are you, God. When I look at my life, I'm like Isaiah. I say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and that's just the start. I struggle so much with this natural bent towards sin. So, Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you that on the cross of Calvary, you forgave my sin once and for all. But that as I daily come to you and ask forgiveness and confess, agreeing with you about my sinfulness, that your grace and your mercy is unending. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I know what I'm saying for me is true for all of these that are crying out to you right now. God, most of all, I thank you because when I am faithless, you are faithful. God, I thank you that when I've been unfaithful, you are faithful. In fact, Lord, as I look back, you saved me at as a young age. I know that's not true for everybody who's agreeing with me in prayer. But since that moment, I can truly say all my life, you've been faithful. Thank you, Jesus. All my life, you've been so good to me. I worship you now, Lord. With the saints in this room, I worship you. I thank you, Jesus. Hear our cry. Hear our agreement. You've been so good to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pray this in your name.
Would you stand with us as we continue to worship?
If God's been faithful as you've lost somebody you care about in your life. Let me see your hand if God's been faithful when you struggled relationally. Let me see your hand if God's been faithful when you needed his healing touch in your life. Look around. Let me see your hand if God's restored relationships and he's been faithful in that way in your life. Man, all of my life, God has been faithful. That doesn't mean I haven't done and I haven't experienced bad things in my life. But my God will never let you down. My God will never fail you. My God will never leave you. He will never forsake you, because all my life He has been faithful. Sing that out again. All my life.
All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, Your goodness is running.
His goodness, sing it.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrendered now, I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Simple chorus one more time. But in the last service, when we got to this portion, I was so overwhelmed stopping and reflecting on the goodness of God in my life. And so I want to encourage you in this moment right now, before we sing this song and as we sing it again, to really stop and look at your life, evaluate it. This is not the normal way we do our services. God has ordained this Sunday, and I feel like He's telling us, hey, let me get your attention. Let me get your attention. Let's have a moment together. Let's remove the distractions. Let's remove the routine. Do you remember how good I've been to you? How faithful I've been? And wherever we are in our journey right now, maybe living in sin, and we need to be reminded there's a loving God who forgives and who redeems and who restores. Maybe you're in a broken situation, and God's trying to remind you, hey, I'm good and I'm faithful, and I can come in and I can heal that. I can bring restoration. Maybe you need that physical healing, as our sister Joy does, and even myself. Some of you knew I was out for the last couple weeks with a very serious health situation. And look, and I'm overwhelmed by the healing hand of God. We look around at a church that God has blessed us with to be a light in this city. A church that is passionate about reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus and reaching the city of Temple Terrace in Tampa. A church that is sensitive to the Spirit, that when He says, hey, listen, the service that you had planned for Sunday, I want you to wipe the slate clean, and we're going to rewrite that whole thing. Because I got some things I want to deal with, some things I want to say, some ways I want to show up that you weren't expecting. He's a good God, and He has blessed us. And so let us reflect on that. God, you've been so good. You've been so good in my past. You've been so good in my present. Let us declare it this morning. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. So good to one more time, come on, church. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so
in this moment, just for a second, would you just praise the Lord with your voices? Would you just cry out to Him? Tell Him He's good. God, you've been good to me. God, you've been good in my marriage. You just tell Him, God, you've been good to my family. You've been good in my health, God. You've been good to this church, Lord. You are so good. Just tell Him. See this, there are sweet expressions.
There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the presence of the Lord.
Just sing this chorus, sweet Holy Spirit. And our minds to the cross of Calvary, where I'm going to remind you yet again that God loves you. Oh, I don't know what you've done this week or in your life. I'm so thankful that I'm not a sum total of my bad mistakes or my wrong choices. God loves me not based on just who I am. He loves me because He is love. Can I tell you, He showed that to me again this morning. I talked to Him today. I was in the Word just through my regular reading. I'm doing a plan that took me to Jeremiah 31. Listen to what it says. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. Oh, thank you, God. How do we know that? Let me show you. I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, that's us. We're friends of God, and because we're part of the family of God, we're friends with one another. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Amen. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Say, God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and his only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I thought this was important today because as we come together in prayer, it's important that we experience the unity of the body. We're in this together. And we should remember that every time we take communion, because think of those words that make up communion. It is a common union. This is what we have in common. Though we're from different nations and different careers and different backgrounds, this is what we have in common. And everyone who calls the name of Christ has this in common. Maybe you don't understand why it said in the verses I read that God showed his love by becoming an atoning sacrifice. If that was confusing to you, let me remind you of what we believe. The Bible teaches that you and I, no matter how good we are, we were born separated from God. It's not about what family you're born in or what religion you're born into. You're born separated from God because you're born a sinner. The Bible says all of us have sinned and we've fallen short of God's necessary mark. And that sin not only separates us from God in a moment when we sin, if left undealt with, it will separate us from God forever. So when God's people began to sin and this problem was acknowledged, God created immediately a covering. First, in the Garden of Eden, it was the covering through the shedding of an animal's blood that gave skin so that our great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, could cover their nakedness. But then shortly thereafter, it began to be acknowledged that the covering needed to take place through the shedding of blood for an animal as a sacrifice every time sin had to be dealt with. So for a few thousand years, that's what people who feared God did. They would sin, and they would sacrifice. And they would sin, and they would sacrifice. And they would sin, and they would sacrifice. But then Jesus came. And the Bible says that the Lamb of God became the perfect sacrifice for our sin. It says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So from the beginning, God always had this in mind, because from the beginning, God always had you in mind. And when Jesus died on the cross, he became that one-time sacrifice for your sin, offering one-time forgiveness, which is what you need. We continue to sin. We don't want to. We try not to, but we do. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have forgiveness and grace. That's why we have to be forgivers. I get it. You've been hurt. Me too. You know why? Because we're hurt people. And hurt people hurt people. We say things we wish we wouldn't have said. We do things we wish we wouldn't have done. But every time I take of this bread and every time I take of this cup, I remember that I must be a forgiver because I have been forgiven. So God in his wisdom knew we would need this reminder. So he set up a simple way. A piece of bread and a cup of juice or wine representing the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, reminding that Jesus did everything necessary for us to be forgiven. But church, I feel really strongly led in this service. I didn't say this in the last service. I want to take you back to what it says in 1 John 4. He is love, so he became the atoning sacrifice for our sin. That's what we're remembering. But as a result of this, when we remember what Jesus has done for us, we must re-up our commitment to love one another. You don't have the option as a Christ follower to walk around saying, like some of us have probably said, well, I love them in Jesus, but I don't like them. No. We love as he has loved us. And we can because he loved us. See, God demonstrated his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you now can show your love in that while you still feel hurt, sinned against, you can share his love. So maybe you need to pray about that as we think about these elements. Would you pray with me again? Oh God, thank you for loving me. I'm so unlovable sometimes. I don't know how my family loves me some of the time. Much less those that don't know me well. Much less a holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood, having a broken body so that I could know love. And then, God, that I could stand here 2,000 years later and have a common union with other sinners like me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we take of these elements, I pray that forgiveness will be received not only in our lives, but that it would be extended in our world. Lord, because you've loved us, help us to love others well. And we realize that would not have been possible without the cross, without your death. So we do this in remembrance of you, Jesus.
No other fire. to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
Sing that again. The blood that gives me strength.
The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
Because
there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Stand and let's sing that again. There's power.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Sing that one more time. There's power.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. God be the glory for the things He has done.
Listen to this truth.
With His blood He has saved us. With His power He has raised us. To God has done.
We're going to sing that again. Sing it out.
To God be the glory. To God
be the glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
To God
be the glory
for the things He has done.
This is the power.
With His blood
He has saved us. With His power
He has raised us.
To God be the glory
for the things He has done.
Would you give Him praise, church? You can be seated. I've been in the Word all week just seeking a word from the Lord. Since Sunday afternoon, right before I got on a plane, I heard about joy. Most of last Sunday night I spent with my brother Jeremy. Joy and Jeremy are not just a part of our team, they're personal friends since I think about 2003. They were missionaries in France. spent Sunday night and Monday morning praying with Jeremy over joy. And I think it was Tuesday morning, I was in the Word and I came to Mark 11. Let me just tell you what it says rather than read it today before we seek the Lord's hand now in some specific ways. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. They call it the triumphal entry. Remember what they said as he was coming to town? Remember? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But then he catches them off guard. Because as he's coming into town, he goes up to a fig tree to get him a fig. And there's no fig on the fig tree. And so Jesus shocks his disciple. You know what he does? He cusses that fig tree out. He curses it. And then he keeps doing what he's going to do. He goes to the temple. He gets to the temple, and I think he was already in a bad mood because of the fig tree. But he threw a fit. You know this story. It says, instead of what is supposed to be this place, a house of prayer, you have made it a den of robbers. What was he saying? You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and so you're not getting what you're supposed to be getting. You're missing out on the purpose and the power that God has for you because you've forsaken the very thing that I created you to do. To be able to come to a holy God and communicate through prayer. And you're not even doing that. I wonder how much the Lord would say that to our church today. I like the things that you do, some of them. But you're not doing the main thing the way you should be doing the main thing. That's why by Thursday morning, after talking with Pastor Nick, and he was supposed to be standing here preaching today, we just agreed, no, we need to just scrap it all, and we need to be a house of prayer. We need to come before God in prayer. That's not the end of the story there in Mark 11. So Jesus throws a fit in the temple. He then leaves, and everybody's cleaning up the mess. And they come back to that fig tree. And it's withered. I mean, it's nothing. And the disciples, they say, Jesus, I don't understand this. I'm just telling you guys, I'm 56 years old. I grew up in a church. I've heard about that fig tree all my life. I feel like God opened my eyes this Tuesday morning because I saw all of this together. Because what Jesus said, hey, you guys still don't understand it. I've given you great power. If you pray and ask and believe in faith, you can ask whatever. You could tell that mountain over there to move and the mountain would move. But you don't do it. Because you're not praying and asking and believing in faith. So that's what we've come to do as well. To just call on God to do what only He can do. Because He's the healer, right? I want you to stay seated, but Brandon, just come on and let's sing a little bit of Healer. And I just want you to breathe this in, and then I'm going to come. And pray very specifically around Joy and Jeremy and their family. Just sing it out, Brandon.
You hold my every moment.
Hear the truth.
You calm my raging seas.
God.
You walk with me through fire.
Listen to this.
My disease,
and so we can sing this.
I trust in you. I trust in you. And I believe you're my. Jesus, you're all I need.
Sing it again. Jesus, you're all I need.
Jesus, you're all I need.
Pastor Zach, would you come on up here? So early this morning, I talked with Jeremy on the phone. And yesterday was a good day. But just very honestly, you know, shifts change and doctors come in and nurses come in, and you can have one that's very encouraging and then you have one that comes in with a bucket of cold water. And so we want today to be another, well, we want it to be a great day actually. But we're going to come together and pray specifically for the healing of joy. That's what we've been doing since Sunday. Now listen to me. We're not God. So we're going to end all of this in a few minutes with a time of submission to the will of God. But the Bible tells us to pray for the desires of our heart. And so let me tell you what I'm praying. I'm praying that my friend Joy will stand on this stage and will again sing praises to Jesus. She writes songs. I prayed with, I think she was listening. He held the phone as I prayed this morning, and I prayed that God would be giving Joy songs right now that would describe the peace that he's given her in this battle. And by the way, Jeremy just texted me, and I think we have a picture. The whole family is gathered around watching this service right now. They're praying with us. They've taken over that waiting room on the fourth floor at Advent Hospital, and we're believing God in prayer. So, Zach, you're going to pray for healing in Joy's life. We're going to continue to pray for wisdom for those caring for her. We're praying for Jeremy for the peace of God. We're praying for those boys, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. We're praying for Gabriel. That's an angel. We're praying for Michael. That's the angel Michael, but that's in French. They finally decided to name one of the boys that were born in France in French. So we're praying for all of this family, and we're asking just that the presence of God would so overwhelm them in this moment, and we're asking that Joy would be healed in the power of Jesus' name. Would you pray for us? Thank you, Jesus.
Just family, join us in prayer. Father, here we are in the unity of the power of your Holy Spirit together in one faith, calling upon Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
The one who declared himself the healer. In fact, you say one of your name is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals.
Amen. Amen.
So we come boldly, O God, before the throne of grace.
Amen.
Where there's so much abundant healing grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Available even for Joy right now.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we are calling upon your name that Joy will be healed completely.
Amen.
Totally restored. That gifting of singing, oh God, she will rise that voice again, declare that Jesus is good and is true and is
Amen.
Powerful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we love our sister. Our family love her. But the irony of it all, oh God, Jesus, you love her more than we do. Every heartbeat right now, oh God, is counted worthy before your eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
Let her body hear your voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just as the body of Lazarus hear your voice, oh God, and pick up life, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let the body of Joy hear the voice of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let your heart communicate to our heart right now, Lord, the healing that only you can do, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Because you are the healer. And you tell us to call you in the times of need, and you will come to our rescue.
Thank
Lord,
you,
come
Jesus.
To the rescue of our sister right now, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, you are the doctor of doctors.
Yes.
We thank you for the team working around her, oh God. All day, all night.
Yes.
Lord, I strongly believe there's nothing but the hands and feet of Jesus. You command every move of them, every action, every word, oh Lord. Father, I'm just praying that you amaze all of us, oh God, from the hospital personnel to the church family, oh God, that you're still the healer and there's no one else like you. Father, may you, oh Lord Jesus Christ, meet our sister right now.
Yes.
Touch her with touching healing of Jesus. Whisper her the word of healing that only flow from your heart, oh Father, to our heart. Restore her, Jesus. Father, we thank you for our brother Jeremy. But that man is standing today because of your grace and your mercy. That strength is not from him, it's from you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, oh Lord, for Emmanuel, oh God, Gabriel, and Mikael, oh Lord Jesus. Those three young men, their eyes are on you right now, Lord Jesus. We pray for comfort, Jesus. We pray for confidence in your name, Father. Let their eyes to be on you, oh Father, and you alone. Because, Father, there's nothing that is impossible for you. There's nothing that you will not be able to do, oh Lord. So this church body believe in your healing power and the miracle that only you can perform.
Yes.
And we want to testify of it even right now on behalf of our sister. So Father, we thank you. We are so glad to put joy in the healing hands of God. On the unfailing hands of Jesus, we commend her.
Yes.
And we wait with the great expectations. With so much joy, oh Lord Jesus Christ, and faith. That she will walk again.
Yes.
She will praise you again. And we will praise you all together. So receive the glory, Jesus, even right now. Father, receive the glory that is due to your name. It's about your name, it's about you. Be thou exalted, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sing this out.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me.
This is a pressing, widely known need for a miracle. But some of you have needs for miracles in your life. Maybe you have health needs where you need God to intervene. Maybe you're caring for loved ones and you're just weary and worn out. Maybe you've got broken relationships that are just keeping you down in the dumps. Maybe you're facing and battling mental illness and you know it. And it's affecting everything in your world. Maybe you've got the chains of addiction in your life. You want to be better, but you're chained up. And you need a touch for God. Here's what I want to do. As Brandon sings through that chorus one more time, I want you to come and just stand on the floor here. And then our pastors are going to gather around. We're going to pray with you. Pastors, you go ahead and begin standing there right now. We're going to pray for you. But right now, you just come. If you have prayer needs, you're not going to tell us those. You're just by your presence acknowledging that they're there. Thank you for coming. Somebody's got to be the first one. No one comes. There are lots of needs in this room. Don't be shy to do that. There's lots of needs. You just stand there as we sing. You come right now.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need.
Amen. Got prodigals that you're praying for, children away from the Lord.
I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than.
Marriages that are in trouble.
I believe. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe. No. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that you really are all we need. And that's enough. One of your names, Jesus, is that you're more than enough. We praise the name of Jesus. Lord, I just remember something Jeremy said to me, I think, yesterday, that he's just been singing and claiming the words of same God, that the same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the same God that performed the miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is God in our life. You are the one we're praying to today. The same power, Jesus, that conquered the grave that they put you in is available to us, and we pray for that power now in the name of Jesus. We pray for that power, Lord, for healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, maybe some are so overwhelmed they couldn't even come down, but Lord, we ask you for healing from chronic disease. We ask you for healing from cancer. Lord, we ask you for healing from arthritis. We ask you for healing for the things that are taking away the joy of life in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you for healing from dementia and Alzheimer's in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would do this for the glory of your name. Lord, we ask you that you would heal relationships, that you would restore marriages, that you would begin to provide forgiveness and grace and mercy. Lord, that you would draw prodigals to you. Lord, that husbands or wives or children that are not walking with you would be convicted in this very moment in the name of Jesus of their desperate need for you, and that they would find hope and confidence and freedom and grace and forgiveness in you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Lord, I know that there are many who are chained by addictions, Lord, and they wouldn't be here if they wanted that life. But God, they're struggling. Somewhere, probably as a child, they viewed pornography or someone offered them something, and God has gripped their life. And I know that you are the one who can break bonds. So I ask that you do that in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I know that there are others that have battled mental illness. Lord, there's depression or some other named mental illness that has so impacted their life that it's robbing them of the joy that you've intended. And if there's power for you to conquer the grave, you can deal with this battle, Lord, that I think is the toughest thing we deal with, because it's not like a broken bone or cancer on a scan that we can see. It's just us knowing that something's not right within us. So Lord, I pray for healing for that in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, while we are just praying out to you in prayer, I thank you for a church that's willing to stay a little longer and willing to come together in a common union and seek your face and then seek your hand in prayer. And I pray for unity in the body of Mission Hill Church. And God, I pray that you would do what could only be attributed to you for through this church, for your glory to the nations. And Lord, we do that because of who you are. We believe that you're the healer. We believe there's power in your name. And so we worship you, continuing right now, Jesus.
And I believe,
amen,
you're my healer.
Thank you.
I believe you are all I need.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
Thank you, Lord. Would you just give him praise for a moment? I'm going to ask Pastor Nick to come. I'm so grateful for Nick. Thankful for his wisdom, his knowledge of the scriptures, a longtime friendship. Early this week, he actually reached out to me. He said, know that I'm planning to preach this week. He was planning to preach, but he said this may be another moment. And as we prayed, we realized it was another moment. He'll be coming back in a few weeks and has a message from the Lord just about bearing one another burdens, putting into practice some of the scripture about this moment. But I've asked Nick in this closing moment of prayer before we end in worship just to remind us of how Jesus taught us to pray. He said, we acknowledge the holiness of God our Father who art in heaven, holy, hallowed is thy name. And then we pray, your kingdom come in me, your will be done. So we pray believing the desires of our heart, but then we acknowledge we're not the king sitting on the throne. So we really do surrender to his will. And I've asked Nick to pray in that vein today.
Compassionate God.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray in accordance to the things we know are in your will.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you would provide comfort, encouragement, hope. Lord, that you do all that for the Dame family right now. That they would feel how close you are.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, for all those who are here this morning, who are walking through something hard, who've experienced just kind of an overwhelming hardship, that you would meet each one where their need is. And these things that it's hard for us to understand how it could be a part of your will. That in all of those things, you would help us to trust and believe in your goodness for us.
Yes, please.
To be able to see the thousands of good things you're doing for us all the time and just trust that they're happening. And also, Lord, protect us from believing that you're not all-powerful.
Thank you.
And help us to believe that you are, that you're good to us and that you're all-powerful in all the hard stuff that we walk through. God, I ask that in all of it, you would be glorified and use it for us as individuals and as a church family.
Yes.
To become more and more like Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Nick. So what do you do when words are few and they fall short and there's nothing left to say? Sometimes you just lift your arm and respond to God in gratitude and give him thanks. So before I come back and close us out, let's just do that for a minute, okay? Let's sing this together.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, you never do.
Come on, church.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for my King, except for a heart singing
church. As we have met with the Lord this morning in this place, we've been reminded of his goodness, of his faithfulness, of his healing hand, of his majesty, of his splendor, of his forethought, his sovereignty, that he is in control. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who has redeemed us and taken what was old and made it new, taken what was dead and brought it to life. And so this morning, I hope that the Holy Spirit has stirred within you and reminded you of a passion of who he is, so that when we step out of these doors, as we say every week, go out and be the church. Show this.
this world that is living in darkness, that is living in brokenness and sin, let them see Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't hold it inside here. Don't wait for just Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but declare the goodness of God. And so let's roar like a lion. Let's proclaim His name in this song, but don't let it stop here. Let us go out and declare the majesty of God. Come on, my soul.
My soul, don't you get shy on me with your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up there, praise the Lord.
Come on.
Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me with your song.
Except for